Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. Surprise, Friday show. I know. My regular shows are Mondays and Thursdays at 3 p.m., but I am having a Friday show. I don't know. There seems to be a lot going on out there, so I decided to throw up this impromptu show. And, well, here I am. Yeah, want to talk a little bit about what's been going on in London this week. Pretty tragic, the death of Lee Rigby, 25-year-old soldier. My goodness. Yeah, it was quite shocking, very shocking to read about that, very shocking to see the videos. Yes, I know. But one thing is that, pardon me, is that maybe we shouldn't be so shocked that this occurred in broad daylight in the streets of London. Maybe we shouldn't be, because I have a feeling that people have seen this coming for a long, long time. The influx of Islamic immigration, it was only a matter of time before we started seeing this sort of thing, and unless we get a hold of it right away and start working on it and start working proactively instead of reactively, it will only get worse and it may become more commonplace. Now, I have an article here by Daniel Greenfield I want to share with you, and he will explain to you better than I can what is going on with Islam and how it relates to what happened on Wednesday afternoon. Now, after telling the story of Muhammad's boast that he would make the mountain come to him, only to be forced to go to it, Francis Bacon observed, "If the mountain will not come to Muhammad, Muhammad will go to the mountain." And I always wondered where that famous quote came from. Now, Americans, Englishmen, Frenchmen, and countless others went to the Muslim world hoping to turn it into another Boston, another London, and another Paris. But instead, Boston, London, and Paris are turning into another Kabul, another Islamabad, and another Mogadishu. Muhammad has come to the mountain. 5 years ago, the sight of Muslim terrorists beheading British soldiers was a horror that could happen in Afghanistan or Iraq. Now it has happened in broad daylight in the capital of the United Kingdom. In a decade, 6,000 white Londoners have fled the city. These are the sorts of numbers you would expect from the Syrian civil war. Their place has been taken by the million Muslims occupying the city. Woolwich Commons, in which this broad daylight murder took place, adjacent to the area where the attack took place, it is described as an inner-city multicultural neighborhood, which is to say that it is more ethnically diverse than the London average. It has more violent crimes than average and is among the 5% of the poorest neighborhoods. Only 58% of its population was born in England, and a quarter of its residents immigrated in that same dreadful decade. One single decade. Multiculturalism has enriched the area with the Woolwich Manse, which is a Somali Muslim gang whose antics have led residents to fear walking the streets at night. So essentially, Woolwich Common is another Islamic no-go zone. The Royal Borough of Greenwich Social Inclusion and Justice Division inform us that there are thousands of Somalis in the borough, most of whom live in Woolwich Common and Woolwich Riverside. Now, gang wars over the lucrative drug business have broken out between the Woolwich Manse and other African gangs. Already in 2007, the London Evening Standard said that area residents were describing the Woolwich Common estates as a war zone with stabbings and shootings and a new generation of child soldiers being recruited into war. It is a little piece of Somalia in the United Kingdom. The two men who butchered a British soldier are believed to be Somalis. Well, we have now since learned that the one in particular, he was actually, what's his name, Michael Adebolajo. He was actually the son. He was born in Britain, but he is the son of Nigerian immigrants. And his parents are very devout Roman Catholics. Adebolajo, he actually converted to Islam in his teens. Now, last year, it was reported that dozens of Muslims in the UK were being trained to fight for Al-Qaeda in Somalia. There were concerns over what these men would do once they returned to the United Kingdom. Al-Shabaab, the local Al-Qaeda franchise, subsists on tens and thousands of pounds from the hundreds of thousands of Somali settlers living in the United Kingdom. In 2012, Al-Shabaab terrorists had threatened a terrorist attack against the UK, saying, "The nightmare that is surreptitiously looms on British shores is bound to eclipse the horrors of 7/7 and 21/7 combined." That nightmare still looms. It is the nightmare of the savage wars of the Muslim world being exported to the United Kingdom. Last year, Shabazz Hussein was sentenced to 5 years in jail in Woolwich Crown Court for his fundraising activities on behalf of Al-Shabaab. 5 years earlier, Osama bin Laden and his followers had been sentenced at that same court for the 21/7 plot, which attempted to set off bombs in a number of London underground stations. The majority of bin Laden's followers were African immigrants. Ramzi Mohammed, a Somali, turned to face a young mother with a baby in her stroller before trying to detonate his bomb. Muslim fighters have torn Somalia apart, and importing 200,000 of them into the United Kingdom is beginning to have the same effect. There are an estimated 70,000 Somalis in Greater London. That makes London the 12th largest city in Somalia. Little play on words there for you, because nearly 2% of Somalia now lives in the UK. 80% of Somalis in the UK live on public housing. They have the lowest employment rate of every immigrant group in the country. And within 4 years, they have managed to rack up over 10,000 arrests. Every effort to integrate them has failed. Rather than the Somalis becoming British, shards of Britain had become little Mogadishus. The Somalis are not alone in this regard. Muslim immigration to the UK has brought the norms of Somalia, Afghanistan, and Egypt to the streets of London. Individual acts of violence can be overlooked, but there is nothing individual about all these cases. This is a culture of violence. Islam sanctifies that culture of violence. It takes tribal killings and endows them with the status of a religious duty. Jihad is simply gang warfare, no different than the kind practiced by the Woolwich Manse, given theological meaning. Men have been butchering other men with machetes throughout Africa, but when a Muslim mutilates a British soldier with a machete, then he is engaging in a religious ritual. There is no clash of civilizations because there is hardly anything resembling civilization on the other side. Islam began with a gang of raiding caravans. It now persists in gangs raiding across Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and Europe. What happened near Woolwich Commons would not have been considered extraordinary in Afghanistan, Somalia, or Syria. It is only extraordinary because it has not been a long time since rampaging Vikings were disemboweling the locals. It is only extraordinary because the nation is hobbled by the assumptions of civilization. And one of those basic assumptions is that murderers with red hands will not carry out beheadings in your streets. The United Kingdom has become a civilized place. Unfortunately, its practice of importing savages makes that civilization of climbing roses and social progress unsustainable. If you import millions of people who follow a religion that sanctifies tribal violence, then you must expect tribal violence to tear apart what you have built. And if you do not wish that to happen, then you must close the gates on the barbarians. There is no need to go fight the Taliban in Afghanistan, not when they are already living in London in public housing and screeching diatribe about the coming conquest while treating themselves to all the luxuries of the welfare state. And as their numbers grow, ignoring them would become impossible. The butchers who perpetrated this latest atrocity wanted to be seen. They wanted to break through the media boycott to tell the people of the United Kingdom that they were being murdered in the name of Islam. The story is already being met with the usual cognitive dissonance and being swept under the rug, but that just means that the next bunch will try even harder to convey the message that the war is here. The immediate shift to focus on the backlash is that somehow never really as bad as the thing it is lashing back at. The waves of meaningless condemnations from the Muslim leaders who say one thing at press conferences and another in their mosques, and the deployment of the sickening litany of a tiny minority of extremist rhetoric are all delaying tactics, but they can only delay for so long. Every Muslim country is either in a state of oppression or a state of war. Does any European country that populates its cities and towns with Muslims really believe that it can escape the inevitability trajectory of this cultural history? The Arab Spring isn't only a lesson in the futility of trying to combine popular elections with human rights in the Middle East. It's a lesson in the hopelessness of expecting these same failures to work any better when cultures that choose tyranny over freedom migrate to the United Kingdom or the United States or Australia or Canada or anywhere. The only thing standing between the United Kingdom and Somalia, Pakistan, Syria, and a dozen other charming little places like these is another 2 decades of immigration. And long before the irreversible demographic turning point is reached, life in the new cool Britain will be flavored with regional events like public beheadings, honor killings, and religious bombings. There is no use in proposing that the United Kingdom withdraw from Afghanistan, only to come home to another Afghanistan. And I think what happened on Wednesday afternoon is a prime example of what that article is conveying. Islam has come to the United Kingdom. Muhammad went to the mountain. This has been a trend we have seen for decades. We are not stupid people, are we? We're not that stupid. We can't possibly be that naive and to think that this would not escalate to what is happening today. Like the article relates, Adebalojo, he wanted everybody to know when he killed Lee Rigby, it was in the name of Islam. He let you know, I am doing this because of Islam. All the apologists out there will say otherwise. Nope, he was just nuts. Well, you know, maybe he was nuts too, but he was also a Muslim, and he was following the dictates of what Muslims do. However, I do understand the shock and the outrage that London is feeling today and will feel for a very long time. But after 7/7, they have still insisted on electing politicians who engage in the dimitude of protecting the Muslim community. Tommy Robinson, however, is not one taking it lying down. Tommy Robinson established the English Defense League in 2009 with the express mission of eradicating radical Islam within his country. And he had something to say about what happened on Wednesday afternoon.
Can you talk a bit about what went on yesterday in terms of the terrorist attack and how many EDL's response for it?
Like everyone else, saw what happened. I don't know about you, but man, it nearly brought me to tears and anger. Upset and anger, complete anger, I was witnessing. And then thinking that this has just happened on our streets of our capital to one of our armed forces.
Why do you think it has happened?
Well, I know why it's happened. It's happened because there's an open neglect and an open disgust to our forces by members of the Muslim community. And it's been, it's something that's been allowed to flourish from when they attacked our troops in Luton to the police's response was to protect them and arrest English people, to then they attacked our troops in Dagenham, and they were allowed to, when they protest against our soldiers, they don't have to protest a mile away. Like, if we want to protest against the mosque, we have to protest miles away. When they protest against our soldiers, they protest 2 feet within them, spitting at their mums. Yeah? That out of disrespect that the government's done nothing to protect. Then they start burning puppies. Nothing again. Nothing happens. I get arrested and get a fine in court that's 7 times worse than their pathetic £50 fine for burning puppies. This is just a progression of them taking to the streets against our armed forces. And no one... What, do we have any confidence that David Cameron's government are going to do anything to actually get to the root cause of this problem? They're not.
But what do you think can be done?
What can be done? Actually, what they're doing, all these different things, even down to grooming gangs, are symptoms of the problem. Now, in England, when you think about it, you had one girl raped by 90 Muslim men. Yeah, one girl. You've had 90 Muslims arrested in the last 6 months in Bradford alone. You've got a documentary on tonight about Telford. You've got 60 girls. You've got Oxford, where they're putting an M and scorning it on a girl's arse. Yeah? And people are just not doing anything about it. That's what's happening. People are coming so... just it's so common practice for terrorists being arrested to bomb something and blow something up. Girls being raped and groomed. If one Muslim girl was passed around by a group of Christian men, the whole country would be on fire. That would be their response. And the media's response would be like, oh, well, they justified their anger because of what's happened. We're justified in our anger. We are justified to be so blood fucking angry at what's happened to one of our troops. We're justified to be so angry at the grooming of our girls by Muslim paedophile gangs. And the response by the media, the response by the police, by the politicians, is to bend over backwards to avoid the word Islam or Muslims. Asian grooming gangs. All this, it's a political attack. No, it's not. It's an Islamist, Muslim, terrorist attack. And they've done it in the name of Islam. And even his last statement that the man said, Allah's peace and forgiveness. But this is what they say when we sit here, Islam's religion of peace. Quite simply, it's not. Quite frankly, it's not.
But what do you think's going to be achieved by, for example, going there and protesting like you did yesterday?
Well, we went there last night because groups of Muslims are walking around the street shouting Allahu Akbar after one of our lads has been beheaded. That's the facts of it.
So you went there in response to them shouting out?
Well, originally we went in to show solidarity with the forces and anger. I didn't know what to do, but something has to be done. People can't just sit in their houses shouting at their TVs anymore. Cause that's what people have done for 15, 20 years. Everyone's saying the same thing, the same message, but no one's doing anything about it. And the fact is, if that would have happened to a Muslim, they'd come out and do something about it. Someone draws a cartoon in a foreign third world shithole, shawar-driven shithole of a country, and they're on the streets in their thousands across this country, attacking police officers. Do you know what I mean? And the sympathy is with them. Saying, oh, but you have to enter blasphemy laws to stop offending Islam and don't offend Muslims. And everyone's talking about offending Muslims. I don't care if they're offended. I'm offended every day. We are offended as the British public every single day by Islamic atrocities, whether it be worldwide or in this country, by their attitude, their non-integration, and the stereotypically the way their community is acting upon itself in this country. Now, I know it's not all Muslims. I know some Muslims are great. I know there's some of the best people I've met growing up in Luton are Muslims. But their ideology, the way it's spreading in this country, David Cameron's on TV, I just watched it earlier, saying that this is a distortion of Islam and we will not surrender to extremism. You won't surrender to extremism because you're actually promoting extremism, you muppet. You're actually working with Saudi Arabia, who are funding all the madrasas and all the mosques in this country. They are funding the spread of Salafi and Wahhabi sects of Islam. The most extreme sects that are all of the majority of these terrorists come from these sects. And we're funding it. What are they doing about Anjem Charity? He's got a school for Sharia in London. Still operating now. still today, after what happened to our troops yesterday, he'll still be sitting somewhere giving anti-British forces speeches and inciting Muslims against our forces and saying that they deserve to die and they're burning in hell. Nothing's being done.
And I'm just going to stop that right there. That is actually a 20-minute interview. You can see it either on YouTube, or I also have it posted over at Red Fox Blogger for the entire interview. If you would like to take a listen to that, please do. And Tommy Robinson, he brought up a very good point about Wahhabism. 80% of the mosques are controlled by the Wahhabi sect of Islam, one of the most dangerous sects of Islam. That and Salafism, very, very dangerous sects of Islam. Tommy Robinson sees this. Tommy Robinson has seen this for years, and he's taking action. I am a supporter of the English Defense League. I believe in their ideology, and like I say, though, we have to wake up. We are turning ourselves inside and out with political correctness. We're drowning ourselves in it. I have a couple of examples here. There is a lot of things that you will never find on the mainstream media. Do you know, for example, what's happening in Denmark? Do you know what's happening in Sweden right now? Well, first of all, in Denmark, here is a great example of multiculturalism and political correctness just gone crazy. Because apparently there are some children who are sad that the funny little pigs that they are used to seeing have been removed from an agricultural museum. The explanation so far has been that the pigs were removed because of environmental and animal welfare, but the actual reason they were removed is because of the brutal mistreatment of the pigs, typically stoning. In one case, a piglet was killed after children of a different ethnic background than Danish had stuck a stick into it. We protected the pigs' huts with a fence so they could be left in peace from stones and other objects, but the attacks continued and the pigs have now been removed. They were our most popular animal for our most visitors, and we were excited to show how the pigs could live a natural life. They also shared the natural habitats of rabbits, chickens, lambs, and sheep that have also been hurt. These are immigrant boys who are doing this, and these are immigrant boys of Islamic background who are abusing these little animals. They are being taught this as a young age. They are being groomed for jihad. When you have it drummed in your head from the age of 3 or 4 that jihad is the only way, caliphate is the only way, and that we are the infidel and therefore lesser of a human being, Jews, Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, we are lesser human beings. When that is drummed into your head at such a young age and you start to harm and kill animals when you are 7 or 8 years old, this is nothing but desensitization. One generation is grooming the next generation. Now, what's happening in Sweden? Well, this is also equally shocking. This is something else that you're not going to find in the mainstream media because the mainstream media won't report on it. But for the last 4 days, there have been riots in Sweden. The cars are being burnt. This has been going on, like I say, for 4 days. This is the Islamic contempt for the kafir and the Jahiya society that is being attacked because the excuse is that their welfare benefits are being cut. That's right. Sweden is engaging in austerity measures like the rest of us are because the global economy. This means cutbacks in the welfare state as well. While the Muslim immigrants are rioting about this, they are upset that their MTV and their Al Jazeera satellite is being taken away from them. But like I say, the riots have been going on for 4 days now, and there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. Now, Swedish Prime Minister Fredrik Reinfeldt, he has appealed for calm in the wake of the violence, and it appears to have been instigated by police shooting a machete-wielding 69-year-old man in the suburb of Husby. This happened this month. Police said the shooting was an act of self-defense, but it triggered accusations of police brutality. Well, there you go. I believe there was a similar incident in London a few years back where two youths were being chased by police, and I believe one of them actually electrocuted himself trying to escape. Well, that involved riots. That perpetrated riots in the streets of London as well. One tiny incident of instigation is all they need, ladies and gentlemen, to start behaving like this. And as to what I alluded to in the Daniel Greenfield article, is that you cannot have a civilized society assimilating barbarians. There is no such thing. Islam will not evolve. Islam will not assimilate. Islam is so deeply entrenched, and I feel very, very sorry for the Muslims who are under the thumb of Islam. I was listening to the Tom Trento show the other day, and Mark of Trento Vision brought up a really good point. He said Muslims involved in Islam might as well consider themselves involved in an abusive relationship like the husband who beats the wife. However, you keep crawling back, you keep staying. They are involved in an abusive relationship. I feel very sorry for Muslims. I have nothing against Muslims, but I certainly have an issue with Islam. I am also getting very sick and tired of this. Am I in shock over what happened on Wednesday afternoon? Yes, I am. But should I be surprised? Absolutely not. Should you? No. Do you want to do something about it? Of course you do. What do you want to do? Get out there. Get out on the streets. Take it to the streets. Demand changes. Let your government know you are not going to take this any longer. Listen to what Tommy Robinson is saying to you. Listen to him. Listen to the voices of the other people. There are so many people out there you can listen to. Pamela Geller, Robert Spencer, all these people, they're telling you there is something seriously wrong with Islam. It's a social disease upon the host country, and it is time to change this around because we are running out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We are running out of time. We can no longer afford to appease the Islamists. We can no longer afford to hope that they will assimilate into our society. No, they won't, because they are not assimilating into London, but they are bringing Mogadishu with them. London is gone in 10 years. At the rate of immigration, watch the demographics change. And like I say, in 10, 15 years, public beheadings will be a matter of course. Now, I am down to my last 2 minutes. I want to thank you guys for being here. And I will see you on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with more fun and exciting news from Islam. Check out my blog, Red Fox Blogger, at blogspot.com. Okay? It's not app. It's redfoxblogger.blogspot.com. Check it out. I try to update 2 or 3 articles in there every day. I will put that Daniel Greenfield up there for everybody right after I finish the show so you can go and read it for yourself. Also, please go to the Red Fox Blogger and check out the entire interview with Tommy Robinson. It's very, very eye-opening, as usual. Tommy Robinson is always eye-opening and very refreshing in the battle against Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, and see you Monday.